Only if they have the things to deliver with and if the tide is with them. Its value lies in getting the people registered and getting them out. The state organization is said to be in fairly good shape except in Peoria, Rockford, Champaign, and Rock Island. The issues, and he goes into the issues. Now, I quote this and I'll be through. Larry Fanning, the editor of Chicago Daily News, says neither candidate's coming through well. He says people have trouble envisioning the president as the leader of a great government, but says he can talk to us about war and poverty. He is believable when he says he was poor once, and when he says he's responsible. Fanning thinks that foreign policy, couched in terms of the nuclear trigger and a strong defense, is working for us. The poverty program has not come through. Race is working against us. He thinks Goldwater's new battle cry of soft on communism will work. It has beaten to death for too many years, and the president is less vulnerable to it, though, than Kennedy was, or Stevenson. Goldwater stressed big government. You hear a lot of talk about Bobby Baker in Chicago and the Midwest. The last few days, Republicans have charged Kerner's campaign manager with thievery, and this is likely to stick. It'll enhance Percy's chances, though the GOP sheriff's aides are under indictment, too, if it sticks. And if Goldwater ties it to Johnson corruption in high places, it'll hurt the president. Last few days, the Tribune has been beating the drum against ghost votes. Chicago suburb must be carefully differentiated. Polls fleeing Chicago niggers have moved into these directions. Precinct captain and rich, solid Republican Winnetka says he is getting 300 Democratic registrations to 60 Republicans. A friend of mine says his friend there is switching to Johnson, but they're going to vote for Percy. Rich Shore, North Shore suburb with heavy Jewish population, Highland Park and Glensco, traditional Republican, are going Democratic the first time. I live there. For the first time, it's respectable to be a Democrat. The grammar school vote in heavily Republican Glenview went 24 for Johnson, 6 for Goldwater. The Park Forest prototype for the organization man is still Republican, but a newspaper man standing on L platforms found out 40% of the people were for Johnson, which is astonishing in Park Forest. Another newspaper reports the same thing in Evanston, once rich and solid Republican, with a good many Jews and Negroes, but still pro-Republican. 1960, Kennedy got 33% in Evanston. The Sun-Times poll today gives Johnson 45%. A Democratic friend of mine said it's true and adds Johnson will carry Evanston. In the Rock Rib western suburb, DuPage County, second biggest center in Illinois, most reports detect no defection to the president. However, Sun-Times spot check, LaGrange, gave Johnson 44 compared to Kennedy 24 and 60. In a closer and cheaper western suburb, Oak Park, pretty solid GOP, the Sun-Times gave Johnson 45, Kennedy 33. The full-scale Sun-Times poll, good reputation for accuracy, starts October 12th. Since nobody seemed to have checked the fastest-growing suburban areas, I rang doorbells all day long around Arlington Heights. They are middle-class homes worth $20,000 to $35,000. A waitress in the enormous Randhurst shopping center says they're split and waiting to see what happens. Last time I voted Republican, now I'll split. I'll vote Percy and Johnson. I don't like Goldwater. Another waitress says area is shifting strongly to Johnson because Goldwater wants to get us in the war. Several housewives refuse to talk. Silent vote. A young, pretty blonde woman whose husband's in the insurance business, Republican, but says she'll vote for Johnson for the first time. There's no liberal movement left. Johnson is all there is left for us. Goldwater scares me. He's against foreign trade. Such issues as Cuba and the nuclear bomb are scary. A middle-aged Polish couple from northwest side of Chicago won't talk, mention civil rights. A loud, tense young woman said, I've been reading the Texan looks at Johnson. He's a very corrupt man. He's not fit to be president. She says she hates Dick Daley, too. By God, we better deport her, Dick. She voted Democratic till 1960, then she switched to Nixon, and she's with Goldwater. A young woman in Babushka, married to a shoe store owner, voted for Nixon, but this time she's for Johnson because Goldwater's inconsistent in explaining this week what he had said last week. This pastoral line convention has stuck with a lot of people. A woman newly arrived from Arkansas, husband and accountant, will stay Republican. Said Goldwater's not equal to Eisenhower, shoots his lip off too much, but she doesn't like Johnson. A young woman, small house, husband mechanic, said she's a Democrat, she's going to stay that way, she's for Johnson. Young Polish Jewish woman, fender repairman, was raised Republican, but she's switching to Johnson. A middle-aged general college education woman, lifetime Republican, chemical salesman wife, will stick with the party, though undecided now, and she's very disappointed in Goldwater, and she may scratch him and vote for Percy. But he seems to be getting less extreme out here, and I'm certainly not for Johnson. Her husband favors sterilizing Negroes. She notes some GOP defection to Johnson. A graying woman, lifelong Democrat, stick to Johnson, though I'm not crazy about him. Thinks Goldwater's irrational. A young woman, husband, credit representative, used to be Democrat, voted for Goldwater because Johnson's big spending. The score, Johnson 7, Goldwater 5, including three GOP defections. Oddly, this area has a reputation for being solid or Republican. This is a middle-class area. This is a different pattern from Indianapolis suburbs. The president might whistle-stop from Joliet to Kankakee through the western suburbs to Fox River. Rockford seems to me to be debatable. And the above assumes that we'll hit Rock Island, Moline, Peoria, and Springfield now, and then spend whatever time Daley wants you to spend in Chicago. Now, that's the general report. I hate to take all your time. I want to give you the good and the bad, and I don't pay any attention to it, except wherever they go, we try to tell them to, I've got them now in about 34 states, and they're trying.
I'm not saying, Mr. President, that we haven't got a contest. I said that, but I say that we'll win it. The way we're doing it is, in the state committee as well as in the county committee, we are going through all the mechanics, and I don't want to say to you, because in the reporting of some of the committeemen, they reported some situations on this racial thing. However, we're hoping that we will be able, which we have been doing and will continue to do, to get the issues into the home to offset that.
Dick, what worries me now, you're one of my most trusted advisors. If I've got a political advisor, you're it. Very frankly, this troubles me. I've seen this in two or three reports and two or three problems. And nearly every time they say that nobody really likes Johnson. Now, when I go out to speak, they just tear me to pieces. They tear up my hands, they hug me, they yell, they shout. I got 80,000 in Hartford. And they just keep saying, well, neither one of them any good. Now, that's what the Republicans are trying to peddle, that neither one of them any good.
But I don't believe that. Because what I see, and I've been watching them for a good many years, you don't have people respond with the enthusiasm to the mention of your name if they don't like you. Yeah. Now, they can say anything they want, and the opposition can. But I was going to make one suggestion. I don't know what you think of it. I was always impressed with the president talking from the White House to the people of America.
They want me to make a TV speech next week from the White House.
I think this is terrific, Mr. President.
You think we ought to do it?
Oh, I think this shows the difference without you saying it. This shows a responsible president talking from the White House directly to the people of our country.
They want me to do it next Tuesday night, and they want me to announce it today.
Well, I really think that I would...
Goldwater speaking Tuesday night, too, and they thought that... Well, matter of fact, their staff came in about an hour ago. I told them I'd talk to them this afternoon, but they made exactly the same suggestion. They said that they thought that I would contrast with it by being responsible, speaking from the White House, and just speak 15 minutes.
The president speaking from the White House to the people of America, to me, is the most impressive campaign anyone can make anywhere.
All right, we'll try to do it. You got any other suggestions?
This is a must. On the other, we will have completed our report. And I'll give you a report.
Right.
I mean, not that I appreciate this, and we'll go ahead. As I told you, we're doing everything that can be done. We're doing more, and I see, you talk about the suburbs. We were talking to some of the people up there yesterday. The greatest deflection, they said, in the history of the suburbs will take place for you. I don't know how you put these two things together. Then we get into this stockyard area now. There, close to Foya. The other road to report is a way back because the stockyards are pretty well inactivated for about 20 years, and I lived there. And there's very little of the people that are a holdover from the stockyards that live around there now. The neighborhood has changed considerably, but we still have elements of this racial thing, but we hope that we're able, by the issues, and especially the last 2 weeks, by the nuclear issue, to overcome it. We know that there are manufacturing trouble for it. They're trying to do it in all different sections. I mentioned it to you the last time we talked. They are trying to set up incidents in order to flare this thing up in the next couple of weeks, and in this way have the people angry and mad. There isn't any doubt, but there's some of that in certain pockets. But we think we'll offset that tremendously by the deflection in the Republican Party to you. We've made some tests in the strongest of those areas, polls of you and Kennedy, and there isn't too much of a deflection. There is some, I'd be truthful in telling you that. but I don't think it'll be anything like people expect it to be.
What do you think about your governor's problem?
Well, I think last night the governor debated with Percy, and he annihilated him. And I wished it was the first time they met, and he debated before the Illinois Chambers of Commerce, which is a hostile audience, and he proved pretty much that Percy is a faker and a liar. He proved it with his own figure. And then he put him right with Goldwater, where he belongs, and he's trying to get away from him.
Did Percy try to run from Goldwater?
Yes, he's been running from him. Goldwater's in town, in the States, and he hasn't been with him. He used this excuse, and he's ducking him every place he goes, and we were the ones that forced him to put this picture up in his window. He didn't have it for 3 weeks, and one of the young fellas called and said, "You haven't got the picture in your headquarters." But all of these reports, I think they're good. We like to hear them. It means we have to go back and do twice as much work. We're meeting with the labor fellas again. We met with them on the registration. We're back with them again on making preparations. We've got the nationalistic groups in. You're talking about the Poles, the Lithuanians, all these different groups. We got a big reception and party for them in about 10 days or 2 weeks, at which we're bringing all the leaders in this Johnson. We have opened up, they're opening up the citizens committee, and for your information, a lot of these people who are on your committee in Washington won't join the local committee when they're asked. This is interesting too.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the people that are down there, and get their name in the paper, then when you ask them locally to head or to be the co-chairman, this is one of the things we're trying to get all the people that were in Washington. They say no, that they'll participate in the national, but not on the local level. So you run into this kind of a situation with some of those gentlemen.
Well,
I'm confident, Mr. President, we're going to do it.
Well, now you tell me anything that I need to do. I told some of our people to start feeding out the Chicago papers, particularly Sun-Times. That's friendly, and that we talk to you every week, and that you've got a planned program, and we're trying to work in McNamara and the other people that we want to give some special attention to the Midwest, and that there's never been a president that had a closer relationship with the Midwest and here, that you come in for lunch, that I talk to you about once a week, that I come in stay all night every once in a while, and we're pretty close, and I think that kind of might pull us together and show a special interest in that section.
Wonderful. I hope you do it. If you're able to talk to these Italian-Americans on Columbus Day by telephone, we'll have about a million of them along State Street.
All right.
Selling Celebrezzi out, and I suggested to some of your advance men that maybe they could cut a record and tape, and about 1 o'clock you could say hello to them.
Oh, no, I sure tried to. I'm going to be in San Francisco, but I sure tried to. Is that on Monday or Sunday?
It's on Monday.
On Monday.
The 12th.
Yeah, okay.
Fine, Mr.
Thank you, Dick. You let me, Dick.